We're starting a little series today called One Another. We're going to look at some of the One Another passages in the Bible. We'll do 3 weeks of that, and then we'll do Good Friday, Palm Sunday, and then the series will actually end on Easter Sunday. So today, we're going to do from Ephesians. Close your eyes with me for a moment again. Father, as we open your word and as we walk through this word this morning, it's going to bring a smile to our face, but also a challenge. And we pray that you will challenge us. And then we pray, Lord, that we will go do what you ask. Thank you that we may love one another. In Jesus' name. Amen. He always picks his teeth in public. And she clears her throat every 5 seconds. I don't know. She must use a spatula to put that much makeup on her face. He's as edgy as a porcupine. She gets under my skin. He really works me up. If only people would stop reacting like people, right? If only people wouldn't fill in the blanks. Put on some aftershave or chew with their mouth closed or take care of their screaming little babies. Because there's a certain way in which the world runs or should run, according to me, right? And when it doesn't, forgive my harsh word, I couldn't find a better word, then we get a little peeved. And then this little peeve has little babies, and we call them pet peeves. How many did you say you had, Alistair, this morning? We have these little pet, and you all know what pet peeves are. But here's my question today. Do we know the cost associated with our pet peeves? Because make no mistake, they're costly. Every time I tolerate one of these pet peeves, it eats away a little bit at my joy. Every time I get aggravated, it makes a withdrawal from my happiness account. Let me give you a real-life example. This gentleman has passed away, gone to be with the Lord. He and I loved each other. But boy, could I work on his nerves. When I got here, I would often wear this tie. Janie loves it. I love it because my daughter Ellery bought this for me in the UK. And blue is my favorite color. And I love this tie. First time I wore this tie and I went and greeted at the door, he came up to me and he said, "You shouldn't be wearing that tie." And I was like, "Why? Is it dirty? Is there something?" "No. I'm just telling you now, don't wear that tie again. It's not appropriate." And I'm thinking, holy Moses, what's wrong with the blue tie? So every time I would wear this tie, he would go at me. Until one day I said, "What's your problem with the blue tie?" He said, "Well, at least if you want to wear a tie, wear a red one." And then the light bulb went on. And I said, "My dear brother, I have nothing to do with politics when I am wearing this silly blue tie. It's just my color, and I really like it. So please." And I was thinking, is it really worthwhile working yourself up and getting so frustrated about a silly tie? And that in a world where joy and happiness is actually in short supply, right? Another little thing about the costliness of these pet peeves of ours. Have you seen how we formulate them? "She gets under my skin. He's a pain in my neck. He works on my nerves." Whose skin? Whose neck? Whose nerves? Who's the one who's suffering? Can I illustrate that? I can't wait for this. So let's say this is your joy, happiness portion for your day. This is what you've been given for the day. What do you think would happen Every time you get upset about someone's little quirk or someone's little strange thing that he does or that she does or gets on your nerves and aggravates, what do you think what happens? Can I show you? Why can't he put his clothes in the hamper? Why does he leave the stuff on the floor always? This is what happens every time. We have to go to some place, and then she puts on this makeup, and she just can't get it done, and then we're always late. Why do people have so many tattoos? Why are people looking at my tattoos? Why in the world would that stupid minister wear that blue tie again? Who's the one who's suffering? Because there's nothing left. My joy is gone. And who is to blame for that? But let's not stop there. Let's go ask for the cure for these little pet peeves that steal away our joy. And Paul gives us that in the book of Ephesians, and it's already there on the screen for you. Just a verse 2 of chapter 4, the last two lines. Be patient, bearing with one another in love. Boy, is that a big word. Be patient. I wish you could all read Greek, because it's so cool when you read the Greek Bible and you take the word and you break it down. You'll know that, Daryl, when we break the language down. The Greek word for patience is it's made up of two words, makrothumias. Makro meaning long, and thumias meaning tempered. It's the opposite of fast, tempered, where you have a trigger finger that's on a hair trigger and someone just does something and boom, everything explodes. Patience, makrothumias, means that I am long-tempered. We could explain it like this. Take a long time to boil over. Be patient. Don't boil over so quickly. Now being patient doesn't mean that we're naive and blind and that you don't see the things in the world that aggravate and the things that hurt and the things that shouldn't be the way they should be. But it means this. I make a choice to do the second part of what Paul writes. Bear with one another in love. Can I give you the Greek word again? Two words. When you break that down, it's beautiful. Anechomenoi. From ana and echo. Ana means up. And echo means to have. Be patient with each other. And hold each other up. Allow for the other person. When I read this, I was thinking, thank you for the reality check, Paul. Because boy, do I fail in this one so often. Patience just goes, and then I don't bear with my brother and my sister. I rather push them down instead of saying, what's going on? Maybe I can just go down, and maybe I can just lift you up, and we can walk together. Because if you ever thought about this for one second, as we sit here right now, someone is tolerating you. And there's only one normal person in this church. My wife's married to him. True story. True story. One day, Elsie and I had a little bit of an argument. Happens in our house too. I'm the troublemaker, not Elsie. She does not, but I am. But this day, I think I just somehow hit a nerve. And Blondie, as I call her, she looked at me and she said, well, we're not all as perfect as you are. That was the end of the argument, because I just stood there stunned. And I had to chuckle and think, was that the truth? Because isn't that what we do? We define normal to what we think normal is. So maybe next time, before you lose your patience, before you let that little pet peeve come in and empty up your jar, just for a moment think, how does it feel to live with me? Jesus tells a really cool story to explain that. Ted's going to have it on the screen for you. I'm reading from the New Century Version. I love it. Matthew 7. You know the story really well. Why do you notice the little piece of dust in your friend's eye, but you don't notice the big piece of wood in your own eye? How can you say to your friend, let me take that little piece of dust out of your eye? Look at yourself. You still have that big piece of wood in your own eye. You hypocrite. First, take the wood out of your own eye, and then you will see clearly to take the dust out of your friend's eye. I love the story. So Jesus tells a story about this dude who's walking around with this 2x4 in his eye. It's in his eye all the time, but it's never on his mind. His poor wife, when they're lying in bed, she can't sleep because every time he turns around, there's whack against the head. When he's at work and he's walking down the hallway and people are greeting him, they're always ducking because, oh, hello, oh, hello, oh, hello. And he's got this 2x4 going. And then one day he's standing on the side of the street. And as he looks across the street, he sees another guy on the other side. And in that moment, there's a little wind gust and it blows a little dust in the guy's eye. And he's got a tissue out. And he says, I got to go do this. I got to go take it out. And he's looking left, right, and people are ducking all over the place. Goes across the street, hits the poor guy in his nose with this Pinocchio-sized plank that's sticking out his eye. And the people on the other side are saying, hey, hold on. You got a huge 2x4 sticking out of your eye. How can you try and even touch the other guy? Cool story, isn't it? Jesus told it 2,000 years ago, and it still makes us chuckle, because here's the thing. We've all been there, haven't we? Says Jesus, let me warn you. Next time, before you want to go at your brother, your sister, and you don't want to be patient and bear with them, how about you take a look in the mirror first? Because yes, we live in a broken world. We live in a world where people hurt. We live in a world where things are upside down. We live in a world where sometimes things work us up and we want to boil over and lose our patience. But Jesus says, can I give you a little advice on what to do? He says there's two steps. It's a first and a then. Verse 5. First, take that 2x4 out of your own eye. And once you've done that, then now you look at your brother, your sister. Then maybe you're able with grace to help them with that little speck of dust. Make no mistake, there is a time to speak up. But before you speak, ask, what are my motives behind what I'm going to say and why I'm going to say this? Look at yourself first before you look down on others. That's why I never liked the pulpit, because you're always looking down, and that's not how it works. Look at yourself first before you look at others, because you might find that it's a little difficult. Before you put someone in their place, why don't you put yourself in their place first? Instead of reacting, say, Lord, help me. Lord, help me to remember my own 2x4. Lord, help me to understand that everyone is not as perfect. Lord, give me grace and teach me about grace. Lord, help me not to sweat the small things, because after all, they're just small things. Let me end. It's going to happen to you tomorrow. You're going to be in the parking lot, and there's only 2 parking spots left, and you're going for one, and the guy with this big truck with the 4 wheels on the back pulls into both of those. It's going to happen. You're going to stand in the line at the grocery store, and it's the 10 or less line. And two people ahead of you, there's going to be someone who's got 18 or 20. Someone's going to cut in front of you as you drive in the street. Don't give up a single one of your ping pong balls, of your joy. Remember the old 2x4. And maybe when we start doing that and we have patience with each other, long-tempered, and we hold each other up, maybe we'll look at this world and humanity and say, man, they got a lot of quirks and quarks and funny stuff. But are they actually so amazing? Because they bear the image of the one who made them. Let me end with a little story. Dad comes home from work. He's tired. It was a tough day. And he thinks, I'm just going to sit and read the paper, because some people still read the paper, not on their tablets. Going to read the paper just for half an hour, just to settle down from the day. The next thing, his little son comes running in. He's got a baseball mitt in his one hand for Dad, and he's got his own baseball mitt, and he's got the ball. Dad, can we go play ball outside? And it's like, oh, my goodness, I just need a few moments. And in that moment, he looks down on the coffee table, and there's a magazine, and it's open, and there's this advertisement, and it's the whole page. It's got the globe on the page, and he gets this idea. He tears it out. And he tears it into small pieces, like a jigsaw. Gives this to his little boy, and he says, when you're done putting that together, you come fetch me, and then we can go play ball. Because he thought, man, this is going to take him at least half an hour, 5 minutes. Buddy's back. Come. And there it is. It's all done. He says, how did you do this? He says, well, I actually turned it all over, and I found on the back that there was a picture of a man. And the moment I realized if I put the man together, the world would fall into place. Be patient. Bear with one another in love. Amen. Take a few moments of silent prayer. Thank you, Lord, for putting a smile on our face about something really serious. Thank you that we may look at ourselves and say, and where am I? Not to judge, but to walk a little closer to you and learn. Because, Lord Jesus, when you walk this world, could we learn from you being long-tempered, bearing with us, lifting us up. And then you went further than that. You took a cross. And you not only bore the cross, but all of our sins to lift us up. Thank you. Thank you that we may imitate you. Thank you that we may bear with one another in your love. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.